welcome to another episode of Bring More STEAM. I'm your host, Rob Breyer, and I am the proud principal here at Cameron Elementary School. And today we are joined by our special guest, Mariah Morris. And Mariah has been an educator for the past 10 years. She has taught high school English before finding her passion in an elementary classroom as a second grade teacher. Mariah is the 2019 Burroughs Welcome Fund North Carolina Teacher of the Year. She teaches second grade at West Pine Elementary School here in Moore County. And Mariah attended the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as an NC Teaching Fellow. Mariah believes the importance of providing equitable STEM opportunities to the students of North Carolina so that they can become successful global citizens after graduation. Mariah is excited to travel the state next year, advocating on behalf of our wonderful teachers and students. You can learn more about her journey as a Teacher of the Year by following her on Twitter at MorrisTeach1.
Well, Mariah, welcome to the show, and we're happy to have you. And as I said earlier, that you are the Teacher of the Year for both Moore County and the state. And can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Sure. So next year, I will be on a sabbatical where I will be a teacher on loan to the state, and I'll be traveling around the state as an ambassador for education, and I'll be getting to go into all different types of schools across the state. I'll be getting to meet future teachers at the colleges and the universities to share my story. And I'll also get to speak at various groups and community functions to try to be a voice for teachers.
Wonderful. And so what's your message? What are you going to be sharing with teachers when you're out talking to them?
So I believe that students today need to be exposed to STEM education in an equitable manner so that students from diverse backgrounds have access to STEM-based skills in order to become successful global citizens. I think that today our students are going to graduate and enter a workforce that is very different like any workforce that we have prepared students for. And we don't really know what jobs that they are going to have when they graduate. So instead, we have to rethink education and have a paradigm shift as educators so that we can equip them with the skills they'll need to have these future jobs. And that usually lies in STEM-based practices. And my platform is having STEM-based practices across the state in rural areas, in hard-to-reach areas, with student subgroups who typically are not exposed to STEM as much or are underrepresented in STEM-based fields, so that all of our students have access to these equitable STEM opportunities.
That's fantastic. So, and you're going to be just traveling all around the state and just talking to all types of different teachers, and what a great opportunity to get our message out. So
yeah, I'm really excited.
Yes. And I think you're a fantastic example of the great teachers that we have here at Moore County. And just know that very impressed with what I got to know about you and just working with you for, we worked together in the retention and recruitment committee. And right. So I have nothing but wonderful things to say about you.
Thank you.
You are a great example of the Teacher of the Year for the state. So
thank you. And likewise, I have heard nothing but great things about you. And I always enjoy hearing what you guys are up to at Cameron.
Well, and I can't wait to have you come out here and join us one day and give you a show of what all the great things that we have going on here. So
yes, definitely.
So my question for you is, what are three skills that students have to be successful in school and in life? What are your top three?
Yeah, so I think the first one is that we have to equip students with the ability to problem solve so that we don't know what problems students are going to have to solve, but we know they're going to have to solve problems in a 21st century role when they enter the workforce, and they're going to have skills to be resilient, to be creative, and to have critical thinking skills so that they can be problem solvers. I had the opportunity to go out to SAS and to speak to their curriculum pathways team. And I asked them this very question. I said, what do you look at? You know, you are a leading company around the world in data analysis and in STEM-based skills. And what do you look for? And they said that they expect people to come to their workforce and not know everything and not know, they're not going to graduate with a degree that teaches them everything they're going to know to be successful at SAS. But they need the students who are going to be able to find the answers. And that goes along with problem solving, of not giving up and being resilient and going through that problem solving cycle so that you don't give up and crumble the first time it doesn't work out. So problem solving is probably one of the top skills.
Absolutely. And understanding how to persevere. And that's a huge thing that you see with kids today. Mm-hmm. And then when things get tough for them, how do we teach them to keep moving and keep going and never giving up? And that, I think that's right. It's huge for our kids to definitely know. So I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely. The second skill I would say are interpersonal skills. I think that we are in a global economy and a global world today where students are going to have interpersonal interactions with people across the globe, people who are different from themselves, people who may speak other languages, people who don't represent their hometown values necessarily. And we're going to have to teach our students to have interpersonal skills so that they can form meaningful relationships in the workforce and in society. And in the political schema, everywhere they go, we're going to need to equip them with those interpersonal skills and relationships so that they can thrive in this new global citizenship that they're going to be taking on.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. And probably the third skill that I think is very important is kind of a softer skill, but I think it is the driving force behind this group of students making our world a better place, and that is a skill of empathy. You know, that's a very soft skill that's hard to teach, but I strongly believe that we as teachers must not only model it and be empathetic ourselves, but also teach our students empathy and intentionally seek opportunities in the classroom and the school to teach children from a young age what empathy is and how to be empathetic. I think that we have big issues in the world right now. Big issue in politics facing this group coming up. And unfortunately, they have a lot on their shoulders that they're going to have to deal with when they graduate. Things like climate control, things of all different natures. They are going to be faced with these things. And I think that we have got to teach them this empathy as the core, as their motivating factor, so that they can go into these situations and understand that what drives this next generation is making the world a better place.
That was wonderful. That was some of the best answers I think I've ever heard. You did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Very impressed. And just to kind of pick on what you were saying, like, and I was lucky because my parents were, I grew up in a very small town. And if you know Cameron, it's a very small community. Mm-hmm. And it's about twice the size of the community I grew up in. And so here I am, a backwoods type kid who grew up, and I worked for Lucent Technologies. And I was living in Midland, China.
In a small town
called Zhuhai. And I was working there for a few years. And I mean, just immersing yourself in the culture and learning the customs and learning how to understand other people's points of view and where they're coming from and still being respectful of other people's beliefs. It's such a, especially in today's society, it is such an important skill that kids really have to know how to work with other people and understand where other people are coming from and being able to accept other people's points of view. So I think that's just a phenomenal point, and I think it's just very beneficial for our kids. So do you have a routine or a ritual that you do every day that makes your day more impactful?
I think that my day is woven together of a lot of smaller intentional moments that I do try and make learning more impactful in my classroom. I would say that we have different procedures put in place. For example, Good News Monday, where we're building community and sharing together. My students look forward to every week coming into the classroom and just taking 20 minutes to be with each other and to share with each other so that we know what is in our lives. I do a lot of positive behavior support where we do brag tags, and you know, I'm constantly looking for those moments to brag on the students, and they support the softer skills like problem solver brag tag or critical thinking brag tag, and so some of the things that aren't rewarded with academics per se. And then different things I'll let students share out at the end of the day. We take the last 10 minutes to share some of the things we've been working on and encouraging them to do acts of kindness with each other, and they'll have a platform to share at the end of the day. But really, I think that it's my philosophy in the classroom that helps set the tone for some of my stances on these skills. I'm a strong believer in Howard Gardner's multiple intelligences, and I think that students come into our classroom with areas that they are very strong in, whether they show up on a test or not. And unfortunately, a lot of kids think that they are not smart because since kindergarten, they have been told they're in the red. And they know that their little man is in the red on MCLAS, or that they're not strong readers. But I strongly believe that that doesn't mean that overall that they are not intelligent. And I try to seek out ways that they are intelligent, and I try to show them that. So that I would say that probably those, that philosophy carries my smaller acts, looping back to your question, so that, you know, I might not point to one specific act right now, but I think it's that philosophy of helping students understand what they're strong at throughout the day and capitalizing on that, and then saying, okay, we're now going to work on our reading, or we're going to work on our math, but that doesn't define you as a person, or that doesn't define you at your intelligence. And I think students pick up on that too, and so that they can encourage each other.
I agree 100%. And I think it's very impactful to just keep promoting them and building them up. And, you know, we have to really help children. Like, you see so many kids come through our schools these days who, it's not that they're not academically successful and that they can't do it. It's they lack the self-confidence. And we really need to kind of build upon that and really kind of support them and show them that failing is okay.
That's right.
And just giving them that positive, hey, you know, and just keep pushing them. And again, going back to that perseverance idea and just showing them how to work through something and taking the time. So I love that philosophy, and your classroom sounds like a blast to me. So I wish I would have been a student in your class. At this point, we're going to look at, kind of want to know more about why do you teach? Why did you go into this profession?
Yeah, so I went into teaching because I wanted to make a difference in our society. I grew up in a very blue-collar family and in a very, very diverse neighborhood where some kids did awesome and some kids were very much on the right track in life. They were born into families that promoted them, and parents had great jobs, but I also grew up with kids who were the opposite. High poverty, didn't attend school regularly, kids who were not on the path to success, and they were my neighbors, and I knew them very well. And so I grew up in this very diverse setting where it was all mixed together, and it was a very interesting situation. And my family very much believed in education, and they very much were not going to accept me or my brother not doing well, but we were very blue collar. My dad was a repairman. He fixed restaurant equipment, and I would go to him to work in the evenings at his second job. I would go with him every evening to spend time with him, and I'd run around the kitchens fixing stuff with him and going up on the rooftops and looking at the air conditioner compressors. And we went to his office where he worked and cleaned the office building for extra money once a week. So I very much grew up in this situation where I saw the power of education, and I saw the power of education in my own life. Because teachers pulled me aside in middle school and told my parents that I was going to be in honors classes. And then all of a sudden, I was placed into the honors classes midway through seventh grade, and I was shocked at the difference in the two. You know, I came from the classes where behavior was an issue, where kids were not excelling, and that was the school I knew. And then I was put into these honors classes where it was the same teacher, but all of a sudden everyone was super serious and working hard and wanting to get good grades. And I just remember thinking, wow, this is kind of crazy. You know, same school, same teacher, but two very different realities. And so I went into teaching because I wanted to reach those kids from the first reality that I was in, because on a core level, I understand them. On a core level, I get what it feels like to be that kid and to come from situations where you don't have everything laid out in front of you. You have to work hard, and you have to work harder because you're almost going against the current. And that's what I saw with some of the kids in my neighborhood, was they had to go against the current, against what their how their life was flowing to break that cycle of poverty. And so that's really why I went into education.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's a great story. And so you talk about STEM and STEAM, and how do you integrate them into your classroom?
So I strongly believe that with STEM and STEAM, it needs to be integrated into our curriculum so that it's not a separate entity. I love this idea of STEM being an elective. That's awesome. But for me as a classroom teacher, I believe in the power of integrating it into my standards. So I have projects woven into my ELA, math, science, social studies standards to help teach the actual standard, but using STEM as the vehicle. So just like, you know, teachers use a worksheet to teach addition and subtraction with regrouping, I try and find ways to use STEM and STEAM to teach those standards and to be the vehicle through which I'm presenting the information. So I love to use the Lego We Do projects where they have mini robots and we might build a little kicker and that kicks a ball and the students have to take measurements and they're using the math measurements of centimeters or meters. And then I integrate that into that and subtract the numbers that they get with regrouping, and they might have to use that with Engage New York. They have to show that on a place value chart, and then they have to show it on a number line, different ways of showing. So we're doing the standards, but the vehicle through which we're doing it is the STEM or STEAM.
And integrating it into your lessons. It's not what drives your lessons. It is what supports great teaching.
That is correct. And likewise with ELA, I have a number of things. I love Lego Movie Maker for beginning, middle, and end. With, you know, standard two, we might write our own stories in groups where they're having to do group problem solving and show a clear beginning, a clear middle, clear end. And this is a beginning of the year standard. And then they use Lego Movie Maker to bring in stuff and do stop motion films that show the beginning, they capture the middle, and then with the problem, and then the solution at the end is show that standard.
And what I'm hoping to see when you come back from your sabbatical is that you're going to start podcasting in the classroom.
Okay.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And the good thing is you'll know somebody is willing to support you doing it. So, I mean, that's
right.
You already got a connection to it.
That's right.
What is your perfect day at work?
My perfect day at work, I honestly love coming to work. I actually was talking to my dad last night, and I told him that I'm so excited about this year of traveling and being a student of the schools and just getting to absorb everything, but I am going to miss coming to school so much because I don't have a perfect day. I have just great days all the time. This might sound cheesy, but I told him, I just love like coming through the building. I'm happy. I go into my classroom. It's so rare to have a job that you love so much. And I would say that every day is a great day. And no day's the same, but typically I would say my favorite days are when my students are fully engaged and when they feel comfortable with me and when I get my hugs at the end of the day. And, you know, but those are just a lot of small moments woven together. And truly, I truly love coming in and just, you don't know what the day is going to hold for you, but you know you're going to have some smiling faces looking up to you, just ready to absorb whatever you have to give them that day.
And it's funny, the audience can't see you. And so we're doing this via Zoom and to watch you, and you just glow and you light up when you talk about what you do. And so I think your passion is contagious.
Thank you.
And I can only imagine like what it would be like to be in your classroom.
Oh, thank you. I love my babies.
And you know, and that's why we're all here, let's be honest. So
that's right.
And it is. And, you know, and I think people who get it share that passion. And I mean, like I tell people all the time, like, I love what I do. I love going to work. I get up at 4:30 in the morning and like, I'm here on campus usually before 7 a.m. And it's, but I love it. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And this is, for me, this is where I belong. And so I'm doing something I absolutely love. And I have a lot of friends who make a whole lot more money than I do, but you know what? They can't say the same thing about their job. They do it because they're trying to support their families. And so for me, like, this is just my passion. It's what I always wanted to do. Yeah. And here I am. So
It feels good when you have found that.
Yes. And it's just such a wonderful feeling.
It is. I
understand where you're coming from, and I share that same passion. So can you tell us about what is your favorite STEAM lesson or STEM lesson to do in a classroom?
One of my favorite lessons is using Goose Chase in my class. Goose Chase is an app that you can download for free onto your iPad or your phone. And I put students into groups, and I use my diff. Kelly Priest, she introduced me to Goose Chase. She's like, I have this app. I want to try it with you. And she's my technology mastermind behind Goose Chase. I write the curriculum part, and she does the Goose Chase part. So I got to give her a shout out because she's awesome. But what we do is her and I work together, and I come up with math lessons, and then she puts them into almost like a scavenger hunt around the school with online challenges, and she makes them creative. So, for example, if I have to have my students add 100 plus 50, and they're going to search for 150, they'll have to do that, and then she'll give them a clue, like, find 150 on the spine of a library book in front of the library. And she'll have laid out like 10 books. And in the Dewey Decimal System, one of them's going to have 150. Or they might have to find out the answer to a math problem and then go take a video with a grown-up who's not in my class. So they love to find Mr. Cole, our custodian, and they teach him. They have a whiteboard. They teach it to him, and then they take a video, and they upload it to the program. So Kelly and I work together to try and, like, synthesize the academic part and then the technology part. But it's so fun because I tell my students, I like breaking out of the classroom just as much. I'm like, we're going to break out these walls today. And I have never seen a Goose Chase go wrong. I mean, we just love them because we get outside of the four walls of our room. We get to explore the school, we get to talk to people, we solve math challenges, and there's a competition side. You can make it timed, and also Kelly's always in charge of our points, and she has fun with it where you can give bonus points for creativity. So that's kind of that extra step a little bit where they might make it into some artistic, you know, presentation, and she'll give them bonus. It's just so much fun,
and it gives the students that that personalized learning. It gives them that voice and that choice of how they're going to do things, and allows them to be creative. It's such a great tool. I loved the videos that I would get from kids. Uh-huh. They used to be like my favorite part of the night. I would go back and just sit there and like go back through the Goose Chase and be like, and just watch some of the videos, and they were hysterical. Yeah. But they were just so well done. And
they are. They're so cute.
The learning was just so evident listening to them. So
it is. And we put them up on the smart board. And so we see everyone's videos, and it's so fun to see how it's the same answer, but everyone does it a different way.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
Yeah, it gives them that individuality and allows them to be them. So, yeah, I love Goose Chase is a wonderful program.
Yeah.
So what do you think parents in our community need to know about STEM education?
I think they need to know that this is the next wave coming. It's here, really. And a lot of times I think people think, oh, STEM is extra, or, you know, this is different from how I did it, but I turned out okay, so why should my kid have to do it? That kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And I want parents to know that the workforce is changing. And if we want our kids to be successful, we have to embrace this, we have to encourage this, and we have to nurture this whole new mindset in education. I would like parents to know that with STEM, it's not always A, B, C, or D. And there's some flexibility in understanding that your child is, there's going to be rough parts of it, because that's the process of learning, and that's the process of thinking outside of the box. So I would encourage parents to find ways to model that in their home life, and model not always knowing the answer and things being a little tricky, and then let their children be included on some decision making and some problem solving in their household, so that we are kind of modeling for them this whole process of STEM at home to show them how it works.
That's a fantastic answer. I love that.
Thanks.
Excellent job. So we're coming down to near the end, and I got one more question for you. But what resources do you utilize to help you grow and expand your knowledge around STEM education?
So the number one resource I use, and I have to give a major shout out to Steve Johnson and his DIFF team, is the whole DIFF team. That's the reason why I got into this. I was an English teacher, and I majored in English, and I was reading 17th century novels and, you know, English poetry in college, and I had no training whatsoever in this. I can diagram a sentence for you, but I did not turn on a smart board when I came to Moore County Schools 4 years ago. So the DIFF program is really the reason I'm into this. I had an amazing experience at my first school, Aberdeen Primary School. That's where I first got my feet wet with this. And we got some Lego WeDos in my classroom. And we had a DIFF come in and really help me with that. And then I moved over to West Pine, and Kelly Priest, she was in my room helping me, teaching me, modeling. I love their gradual release model, where they're coming in and they're modeling for you, and then they're there for you. And now I'm at the step where I can do this stuff on my own. But without that, that is the number one resource that I would endorse. And I think that as a state, we have got to find ways to regularly fund DIFF-type positions across the state, because that's probably the top one that I could say. I mean, you could have all the technology in your classroom and it's meaningless unless you feel comfortable using it. And the way I felt comfortable using it was being taught and modeled and showed by, you know, an expert teacher, an expert DIFF in my room.
And, you know, I know a lot of the DIFFs personally. And I mean, Kelly is phenomenal. She does a great job. I'm lucky because we have Clint Rogers here. And
Yep. He was the one at Aberdeen Primary.
Oh, okay. And so, I mean, and Clint is just phenomenal about getting into classrooms. And
yes,
it's not telling teachers what to do. It's showing them how they can utilize a tool in their classroom to enhance their teaching. And he just has such a natural way. And like, and all the DIFFs, when you work with them closely, like they all have that same way about them. They never make you feel that you just don't know things and you shouldn't be doing it. They always make you feel just so empowered that like, they're there to support you to make sure that you are successful with this. And so
that's right.
I agree with you. And Steve has done a wonderful job with this program here in Moore County. And I couldn't imagine doing this job without having DIFF.
I know. And truly, I love how they embrace this kind of organic growth of STEM in our classrooms, where, you know, they're very good at going into rooms and understanding the teacher's personality and the teacher's philosophy, and kind of, you know, Kelly's great at saying, hey, I have this idea about goose chase, you know, is that something you would want to do? Kind of knowing my personality, knowing I would go with it. And I think that is also really good to just understand that STEM can look different in different classrooms, and it's not a one size fit all. So I think that that's another highlight of their program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So Mariah, we're coming to the end of the show, and I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of Bring More STEAM. Do you have any parting words of advice for those looking to explore STEM education?
Yeah, I would say go for it. Try it. It's not as scary as it seems. I used to always tell people I was a Luddite, someone who rejected technology in my own life. I think my in-laws got a smartphone before I did. I was not a technology person. But find those mentors. If you have a DIFF, talk to your DIFF. If you don't, connect on Twitter with someone who can help you. Find someone to connect with and try it. And what sold me was the look on my children's faces in my classroom when that first Dash robot rolled into my classroom with a DIFF. And I saw their faces. I was like, I have to embrace this, because this is changing the way my students feel about my classroom. And so that would be my advice, is try it and you will see the power in your own classroom.
Fantastic. Bring More STEAM podcast thanks you, the listener, for taking time to learn more about the great things happening in our district and in STEAM education. Mariah, thank you so much for being awesome for the kids here in Moore County. Thank you for being a great representative for our county. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck as you travel around the state next year.
Thank you. It's great connecting with you.
It's wonderful connecting with you. And if our followers would like to connect more with you, what are some different ways they can get a hold of you?
So I am on Twitter at Morris Teach One, and I have a Facebook page for my Teacher of the Year journey, Mariah Morris.
wonderful. So definitely check those out. I'll put them in the show notes for everybody. And Mariah, thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us today. And have a great evening.